The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along to the Punt Podcast. We're looking forward to a packed Premier League programme. And it's just myself, Lee Phelps, and Derek McGovern. It's a bit like old times, Derek.
It is, isn't it? The old days when Ron and Robbie forgot to turn up. And it's just you and I holding the fort. We're back again.
To be perfectly fair to Ron, I think he was pretty much ever present wherever he was in the world. I'm not sure we could say the same about Robbie. ever present wasn't a word. It wasn't
exactly a
hyphenated word in his dictionary. We've got a full quota of Premier League games, of course. Two TV games, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. So we'll start with those and work our way down the rest of the list. First up, Derek, is Leicester versus Liverpool, which is a crucial game still, despite Liverpool's win at the weekend. The odds see Leicester at 3-1, the draw 11-5, Liverpool even money. Loads of headline offers. Leonardo Ojoa to score and Leicester to win 7-1, Gerrard to score and Liverpool to win 4-1. I thought it might be Gerrard to start and Liverpool to win at 4-1. Also, you got match results and four or more goals in the match, match results and both teams to score, etc, etc. Leicester looked like they were going to get something out of QPR, to be fair to them. Couldn't quite get there, though. Scored two goals, which is much better than they had been doing after Cambiasso opened the scoring. But just not able to keep QPR out. And Liverpool probably should have won, well, could have won the game more comfortably, but equally could have also found themselves on the wrong end of a result. Pretty much as predicted with Liverpool, Derek, you're never quite sure what you're going to get. It was far from convincing, was it?
Correct, and not only that, you know, 1-0 result for them, but Stoke actually had more possession. Can you believe that? Liverpool at Anfield were largely playing on the break. It was, I'm not convinced by Liverpool at all. A 1-0 win doesn't paper over the cracks that we've seen emerge over the last, the last few months. I'm struggling, though, at this game because I don't like Leicester either.
3-1's not very big, is it?
It's a tough one. When I first looked, I thought, yeah, Liverpool evens. A bit of confidence after that result. Got a draw in whatever it was last week, Ludogorets. This is the match on telly. It's a tough one to call it. I'm gonna go for Liverpool, but that's more all because of Leicester's limitations rather than Liverpool's Liverpool's prowess, because this is a far from fluent Liverpool side right now.
Yeah, the home form for, I mean, I've been making excuses for Leicester most of the season, so I'll put that out there first. But the home record, they started off with that great 2-2 draw with Everton, then they drew with Arsenal at home. Of course, then they had the 5-3 win over Man United when, that was a tremendous afternoon's work for them. Then they drew 2-2 with Burnley. Burnley scored really late on. With a bit of luck, I suppose, they could have won that game. The West Brom defeat at home was an own goal from Cambiasso. And then they had the 0-0 draw with Southampton. So what I'm saying is, there's only one defeat on the record this season at home, and even that was slightly unlucky, and they could have potentially had another win on the board as well. But it, like you said, that 3-1, it's too skinny, isn't it?
Well,
that says more about what Liverpool are like these days, doesn't it?
Well,
the 3-1, because they, Leicester should be bigger than that at home. If Sunderland were, 8-1 at home to Chelsea, I'm not saying Leicester should be 8-1, but they should be at least 4, shouldn't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact is, they played the last three home matches, they played Burnley, West Brom, and Sunderland,
yeah,
and they haven't won any of them.
No.
So, why are we going to back him to beat Liverpool?
Yeah. Going back to mentioning Ron, if Ron was here, he would be saying, under the lights, great atmosphere at home, etc., etc. I don't know how much you read into that. They need something, Leicester. They need a lift, don't they? But I'm not sure you can base your betting around it being under the lights, 3-1 even.
If you were going to, Ron made a big thing about that, Ron.
And he's right, isn't he? It does have a different atmosphere, but
certain
still.
Grounds do, I think. I'm not sure whether Leicester's ground falls into that category. The more I think about it, Lee, the more I'll have to go for Liverpool at evens, because let's just say if Arsenal were going there to Leicester, I'm sure you'd be getting something like 4-6 for that. And Arsenal are probably playing better than Liverpool at the moment, but there ain't that much to choose between them. Yeah, evens, there's a certain logic to it.
Yeah. What about the Gerrard thing? I mean, he's been forced to kind of deny a rift between, him and the manager and all the rest of it from after being dropped. Is the truth just that he's getting leggy and he probably can't play two games in a week?
Possibly, but he's 34 now, he's not having the influence on games like, we'll remember Gerrard in his pomp. But come on. He deserves a starting role in that team. That's the way they're playing right now. There is definitely a rift going on there.
I think so.
Leaving a player like that out to the Real Madrid game, you know, Rodgers took a lot of stick that day, but I didn't give him too much stick. But looking back at it now, Gerrard should have played in that game.
Yeah.
I think Gerrard is as disillusioned as most of some of the summer signings that arrived, principally Balotelli and the circus he brings to the club. And as I know, there's deep unrest at the club because of what's going on with him. I think the player alluded to in the press over the weekend, that a senior England player has gone to Rodgers to complain about Balotelli and the influence he's having. It wasn't Gerrard though. I think that was Jordan Henderson. But still, Gerrard knows that something is rotten in the state of Anfield, and it's all boiled down to one Italian's influence.
Yeah, I tell you what, it comes to something if Jordan Henderson's described as an experienced England international, isn't it? For England, I mean. That headline offer, Gerrard to score, Liverpool to win 4-1. Gerrard very rarely scores from open play these days, does he? So you're maybe looking at a penalty if that's going to come off. And let's not forget again about Leicester that. They're not particularly clever at attacking, only averaging four shots a game on target, that is. And look at the, as Derek said, look at some of the teams they've been playing at home as well. They really should be getting more than that, you'd imagine. I suppose my only thought is, I guess on goal scorers, I've quite liked Lambert, but the price again, 23-20.
Yeah.
Not prolific enough, is he? But no. I like the endeavour. At least he gives you something. Balotelli doesn't give you that, does he?
No, well, he gives you more than Balotelli, but yeah. I would. I mean, there's nothing that Lambert gives me that I think, he's the man for Liverpool. I think he's a better player than I give him credit for when he was hanging around the lower divisions, but he's not a Liverpool player.
No, he doesn't look it, does he? I thought it was a strange signing when they signed him, to be honest with you. I'm just looking at low goals here, Derek, to be honest. Under 2.5 is 10-11, over 2.5, 10-11. I know which one I'd look at there. Leicester keep it tight, don't they? I know the 5-3 happened, but ever since then it's been very tight, hasn't it? Under 1.5 is 11-4.
Yeah, I like the look of that.
It's tempting, isn't it? I mean, you need a bit to go for you, but I think Dave Kellner called me cautious Colin on Twitter after some of my bets, so I'm going to go under 2.5 and keep up the tag. I quite like it. The other games on Tuesday, we'll go chronologically, shall we? Burnley Newcastle is the next one we'll look at. 17-10 Burnley, 17-10 Newcastle, 21-10 the price for the draw. We were pretty much right, weren't we, saying that run couldn't last forever for Newcastle, and by all accounts, Derek, they looked abject as well on Saturday. Yeah. In their defeat at West Ham. Only a 1-0 defeat though at the end of the day, and Burnley kept up their unbeaten run, two wins and now a draw, clawing it back after Villa looked like they were going to win that. Danny Ings again, if you're having a bet on Burnley, he has to be in your reckoning, doesn't he?
Well, he's the only one likely to score for them. He's looking a top class striker. I don't fancy any results in this one. How on earth do you pick it? Newcastle, but I've got a feeling that they're only heading one way, and that's downwards. And Burnley haven't got much further to fall, but that fall they will. It's got to be the draw.
Yeah. It's hard to disagree with that. That Newcastle run, you worry, don't you, that once the bubble burst, then it might continue to burst. If that's right, it might continue to it might continue to let out air, and loads of injuries still as well for Newcastle. Despite those three wins before the West Ham game, I can't disagree with Derek.
Well, they were without Sissoko as well, aren't they? He's suspended now. He's been one of the shining lights in the last few weeks.
Indeed,
so.
The draw 21-10. The draw in both teams to score is 3-1 as well. If you can see, I can see Burnley getting another goal now. They've started on this little run. Danny Ings, we mentioned him, he's 13-8 to score any time, which I prefer that to Lambert, whatever it was, 23-20 away from home.
Yeah,
Danny Ings 13-8, but it might be better than anything if you can't predict a result in that one. Let's have a look at Crystal Palace versus Aston Villa. This one's an 8 o'clock kickoff. 23-20 Palace. Villa 13-5, 21-10 the draw. I got chinned on my nap. I'm calling it chinned, Derek, because they conceded in the 87th minute. But I wasn't too disillusioned with the way that they went about it. It's that kind of run where you think, they're getting a draw here, draw there. Sooner or later, Villa will turn it into a win. But, you know, I'm not sure when it's going to come. I don't know if I can trust myself to go in with them again. I mean, you know, they're a bigger price this time than they were at the weekend. I'd be daft not to. I should trust the instinct, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you've just had a chin in like that, you know, you worry about stepping in again. But you're right, your instinct is right here. You've got to go for Villarreal because they're not almost 3-1 to beat a distinctly ordinary Palace side. I mean, you know, I refuse to get sidetracked by Palace's win over Liverpool the week before because that was everything to do with Liverpool not being at the races, and you know they looked limited again at the weekend, the Londoners. I think Villa's fortunes are going on the upturn, especially getting rid of Roy Keane now. Reading reports over the weekend that the players were cock-a-hoop after the...
You would be, wouldn't you, to be fair?
Yeah, you would be, yeah. And there was a, you know, from by all accounts, I only saw the brief highlights, but there's a lot to like about their performance at the weekend. So at Burnley, I'm going to go for Villarreal. I think that's a very good price. That one.
I'm guessing the answer to this next question, but you know everyone's. I quote them. You know, the stats, shots on target, this, that, and the other. And there are a million websites out there that give players ratings. They're probably the best of them is WhoScored.com. You know, I think some bookmakers, you know, Betonet and all the rest of it. Mil Jednak, the Palace player, who's is an Aussie, isn't he? He was. On the ratings, before he got a red card the other week, he was the third best player in Europe behind Messi and Ronaldo. So, you know, take that as you will. But when he came back after his first performance, he scored the penalty. He scored the goal against Liverpool, didn't he?
That's right,
a great goal.
Yeah.
He was 10th. So straight away went back in at 10th best in the Premier League. And after the weekend's performance, when he got another goal, he's now the 8th best player in the Premier League. And he's played pretty much more minutes than most others, apart from Cesc Fabregas and Eden Hazard, who are the top two in this list. So we're not decrying the list too much. The list is... Hazard, Fabregas, Costa, Aguero, Sanchez, Moses, Dawson, then Jednak, then Oscar, and then Gael Clichy. So it's not like there's a lot of Muppets above him.
No.
He's in a pretty good list. Again, I'll just mention him because I keep forgetting to mention him. And he's 4-1 to score any time. Which, you know, for a player who scored a couple in succession, I could have a go at that. You know, the goal against Liverpool and then the goal against at home against at the weekend. From home at the weekend.
Well, he's taking free kicks and penalties, isn't he? So,
four,
you know, it's got to be worth a squeak for that reason alone. But before that, you know, his scoring record before that was appalling, wasn't it? He scored about one in a million years.
Yeah, so suddenly, just this season, he just seems to have, I don't know what's happened, but he's come alive.
Fantastic beard he's got. Oh, yes. Eighth best beard in the Premier League, definitely.
Without a doubt, yeah. I can't think of the other seven, but definitely the eighth. Next up, let's have a quick look at Man United versus Stoke. 4-9, Man U. 3-1, the draw. 7-1 for Stoke. We questioned whether Steve Bruce would take his team there and get their tummies tickled. My God, not only did they get their tummies tickled, they took them out for a walk and gave them water and food as well, didn't they? It was just unbelievable.
Man United looked like Man United of old. Yeah, well, they never tried a leg hold. It was a shocking performance. It was a sort of, we'll be happy to come away with a 3-0 defeat here. And I think Steve Bruce is about the only manager I haven't tipped to be next out. but you look at where they are now, you look at the players they've got in their squad.
The players have signed as well.
Yeah,
you know.
They should be doing an awful lot better in the relegation zone, not looking like doing anything. I mean, you worry what's going on. Has he done all he can for Hull now? Mr. Flat Nose, the performance was as flat as his nose at the weekend. It was absolutely shocking.
6-1 he is for next manager to go.
Yeah.
But Lambert 9-2, Pearson 11-2, Bruce 6-1, then Rodgers 7-1, and Harry Redknapp 7-1 as well.
Yeah, I mean, United did look good, but how good was the opposition? Stoke, you have to say, were unlucky to come away with a defeat at Liverpool. And I'm looking at this game, you know, and I'm thinking there's something in it for Stoke here. If you don't get too... Oh, yeah, OK, Man United would have looked a lot better in that result, in that win against Arsenal, didn't they? And that fulfilled the promise they'd shown against Man City in the last 20 minutes or so. So I can understand why the 4-9... But Stoke are nobody's mugs these days. I'm tempted. I might go for Stoke with the start here.
Yeah.
I noticed that 4-7 with the difference between two goals and one goal is massive in this market. And 7-4 with a goal start. Yeah, I'm going to have a go at that.
Yeah, I think that's way overpriced, isn't it? It's like priced up how it would have been in Fergie's reign almost, I think. Maybe they would have been a bit shorter even. But, you know, and Stoke have got a dreadful record against Man U. Had a dreadful record. Last year they beat them at home 2-1. And only lost 3-2 with Hernandez's 80th minute winner for Man United. So I think the season before that, even it was 4-2 at Old Trafford. when Rooney scored an own goal and Keighley scored. So, you know, they've been scoring goals. I'm with you here. I think the 7-1 gives you loads of, like, insurance, if you like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Plus one at 7-4. Well, you wouldn't be surprised if Stoke came away with a draw, would you?
Well, you wouldn't expect, you'd expect Stoke to score, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Against that United defence. And then, so with the goal start, you're looking at, you know, United are going to need a couple already to, you know. I think that's a decent price at 7-4.
Yeah, and like you said, the plus two gives you a, you know, a win for Stoke, the draw, and a one goal defeat for Stoke as well at 4-7. They're a decent side to be having that kind of price about them. I think. I mean, you said before the weekend, Derek, and you know, people might have been surprised that you say that you thought that Man United were starting to look like a bit more like kind of Man United of old. In that, I suppose, the winning without playing particularly attractively. I think this is a test for them. This one, though.
Well,
it's a real test of them being on John Pokes, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you're right. They are being priced. I wouldn't imagine they'd be that much shorter in Fergie's reign for this game. You know, if you look at their form recently, they've beaten Arsenal, they've beaten Palace, and they mullered Hull at the weekend. And they're the kind of results United were getting in their pomp.
Yeah.
But there's still a doubt about them, isn't there? You know, you look at that defence and you think, well, this goal's going to be conceded there. You're not sure still whether Van Persie is, you know, a good goal he scored at the weekend, but you're not sure whether he's at it.
Di Maria came off, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
You know, we've got no team news. We're recording this early on Monday morning, so we've got no real team news.
Well, I'd be surprised if Di Maria was playing. You know, so there's a little bit of influence gone. You know, it all comes down to Rooney again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that was a lovely goal he scored at the weekend. Very
playing
underrated
well,
goal.
He's playing really well.
That was a tremendous player. But Stoke and nobody's mugs, you know. I think the price is slightly wrong.
I think I'll be, rowing in with that and opposing Man U in some form. Probably just go the plus one, the draw no bet if you like that. I know Derek's not a massive fan, and neither am I, to be honest. I'd rather lose and get nothing back, get my stake back. But Stoke 9-2 on the draw no bet, so that just means if Stoke win, you get paid out at 9-2. But if it's a draw, you get your stake back. Final two games on Tuesday: Swansea versus QPR. This one's 7:45. Swansea 3-4, the draw 12-5, QPR 4-1. I've been a fan of QPR. I've been trying to be a fan of them since that international break, the previous one, when they seemed to regain their fitness a little bit. Can't be backing Swansea odds on, Derek.
No, in any game,
I wouldn't even back Swansea odds on against a Championship team in the Cup, I don't think.
Well, we said that was a reservation at the weekend, wasn't it, against Palace? You know, in the end, I went for Boney to score and Swansea to win because I just couldn't bring myself to back my odds on.
Yeah,
and the same applies here, especially a QPR side that, you know, a win under the belt. Couple of decent performances recently as well.
Awful away record they've got, haven't they?
I mean, that's got to end as well.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? They've lost every single game they've played away from home, including Burton Albion in the League Cup. Only lost by a goal to Chelsea. Then they lost by a goal to a resurgent Newcastle. So, you know, maybe it's getting closer to them picking up a point at least.
Well, that's the thing. You see, it was interesting what Harry Redknapp said the last away game when they lost, and he said that, you know, when you're away from home in the Premier League, you're going to absorb a lot of pressure, especially if you're QPR. And, you know, what you need is players to catch teams on the break. You need speed merchants up front, and they haven't got that, he said. You know, You know, that probably explains why they are poor, you know, their record is poor away from home. So that, you know, it worried me a little bit, that, because I thought, well, if he's saying that, you know, when are they going to win away?
Yeah, true.
I'm going to go for them with a start here, because 4-1 is big enough. You know, that's a decent price that for QPR here.
Yeah.
But it's that worry, you know, will they just, knowing that they haven't got the pace on the break, will they just settle for a draw? QPR plus a goal over evens, 23-20. That's what I'll be playing. I don't think Swansea are anybody's bet at odds on.
No, I can see a similar result to the week. I can see a 1-1 again, to be honest with you. I can see a low scoring draw here. I'm just looking then at Boney to score in a, I think this is any time. Let me just double check this. Boney to score first. So, you know, obviously if it's a 1-1 draw, and a 1-1 draw is 28-1. That's got the look of something that, I'm not saying it will, obviously, but it's got a chance, that, I think. Boney, just to score any time, by the way, 6-5, and obviously playing very well. Charlie Austin is 11-5 to score any time in the match as well. Next up, and final game for Tuesday night, before we have a look at Wednesday's games, West Brom versus West Ham. The big West derby, as we like to call it. 6-4, the bag is 2-1, the draw. The Hammers are are priced up at 2-1 here, back in winning ways. And yeah, you listen to the phone-ins now. There's a guy on the phone-in that Robbie does on 606. He rang up to apologise to Big Sam for slagging him off last year. He said he just can't believe the change in this team, this West Ham team, you know, the way they play the football and the fact that they're getting results. And it's the, I mean, I know they lost to Everton game before last, but on a fantastic run. The loss to Everton and lost to Man U are their only two defeats since mid-September, and we're into December now as well. The goals have dried up a touch, haven't they? But yeah, there's not too much to worry about with West Brom. We said about their lack of goals at home and the fact that Sadio Berahino's obviously got other things to, on his mind at the moment. I think he hit the bar, to be fair, against Arsenal, but just don't look like scoring a goal, the Baggies, do they?
Well, they were, I was really disappointed in them against yeah. Arsenal. I had a bet on them, and the money was down after about 10 minutes. You never looked like doing anything. Very disappointing performance. And, you know, West Ham are buoyant at the moment. Yeah, I've got to go. I think it's a little bit short. I expect a little bit more than 2-1.
Yeah, I can imagine you were looking for something obviously closer to, like, maybe 5-2.
Yeah. But on form, and after what I saw from West Brom, very, very limited. I'm going to have to go for West Ham here. Yeah, but just on confidence grounds alone.
Yeah. I think same here. Like you say, it's just the price, isn't it? And I suppose you could, if you could trust the Baggies to score, you can maybe go West Ham and both teams to score. But I'm not sure you can even trust them to do that.
A bit, haven't
yeah, that's a problem. Sacco. I mean, you look at the scoring record away from home, though, Derek. They scored 3 at Palace in their opening away game, 2 at Hull, 1 at Man U, 3 at Burnley, 2 at Stoke, 1 at Everton. So, you know, they've scored in every single away game. I might trust them to do. I might trust West Ham to give West Brom a bit of a maybe a 2 or 3 goal win here. -1 for West Ham is 11-2 away from home. You need a 2-0 for that to land, don't you?
Yeah. Well capable of that.
Wednesday night, the TV game sees Arsenal take on Southampton. Arsenal are 17-20. The draw's 23-10. Southampton are priced up at 7-2. Derek landed his nap that he stole off me at the weekend. I can't really claim that. But it pretty much went the way we thought it would go, Derek. You know, not often you get to crow about, you know, things that go right. But Man City just kind of flexed the muscles a bit. I mean, Southampton had a lot of the game and had the chances, but you always feared for them that the lack of goals they've been scoring, the fact that City would have lots of shots on their goal, really tested the defence. And yet again, there were some daft errors from Southampton creeping in, which only says to me that there's some fatigue and maybe a few niggly injuries in the camp. You were talking about them maybe not getting much out of any of these three games,
yeah,
weren't you? What about this one?
Well, they were 7-1 not to get to
that's
no
right.
points, and it's looking 1-2, 2 to go, and it'll be 2-1 to go after this because. Yeah. You know, I watched Southampton not just on Saturday, but in the previous game against Villa, and I'm scratching my head thinking, how on earth are they second? How on earth?
How on earth are they 7-2 as well?
Yeah. I think Arsenal are absolute certainties here. I mean, Wenger's getting more stick again, isn't he? The nutty professor I once called him. In fact, I'll tell you what, did you watch Match of the Day at the weekend?
But
Paul Ince is the nutty professor, isn't he? Have you seen the size of him now?
As in the Eddie Murphy one, you mean?
Oh, my God. I thought it was the centre circle sitting there at one stage. Put on some timber. Anyway, the nutty professor, he was just sort of putting his fingers up to his critics over the weekend, Wenger. I wouldn't say that anyone, you know, this is one of the weakest Arsenal sides I've seen in a while, but they're going to beat Southampton because the league table never lies, they say. Mm. Oh, dear me. Well, have a look at it now. That's lying through its teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not worried about Arsenal kind of letting you down. I mean, the thing with me with Arsenal, Derek, is that I don't think I could ever bring myself to have a bet on them. Unless they're a big player. They're just always...
But they were good, though. At the weekend against West Bromley.
Consistency, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is, but they were very, very good.
And they were good against Dortmund, weren't they? And, you know, they're picking up a bit of confidence. The home form in the Premier League, of course, has been wretched. Just the win against Burnley and the win against Palace are the only wins so far, drawing with Hull, Tottenham and Man City, which is fair enough, and obviously losing to Man U. But, you know, again, could have probably been a few goals up at half-time in the Man U game. So, yeah, you trust them again. I've got a sneaky feeling that Southampton might batten down the hatches and get a draw out of it. Arsenal sometimes really struggle to break teams down when they're in that kind of tippy-tappy, pass it around and not do anything with it. So I'm going to stick my neck out here and go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
Well, a draw on both teams to score, 100-30, I guess, is the way I'd go. A few other games to look at. Let's start with Chelsea versus Tottenham. 2-5 Chelsea at home to Tottenham. 8-1 Spurs, and the draw is 16-5. That's a huge price for a team like Tottenham, Derek. I mean, I know they're weak, and I know they're not up to much, but I mean,
well,
that's
a massive
price, isn't it?
It's a massive price. I remember, was it last season? I went for Spurs at 4-1 or 5-1 at Man United.
Yes, you did. Yeah, early on. Yeah,
I called it the bet of the season, yeah. And you know, I got laughed at by a few, but it copped.
Yeah.
And now that this is 3 points longer to beat Chelsea, now I have to go for it.
Yeah.
I'd be mad not to, because Tottenham could win at Chelsea. You know, it's
possible, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and
you play this game 100 times, as you say. You know, you'd expect Tottenham to. You know, it's not like they're not going to win games, is it? They're not going to get battered every single time they play them, are they?
Well, you see, I'm not in this camp that says Chelsea. You know, Chelsea at their best, like they could steamroll at Tottenham. Right, but there was a lot to be worried about in their performance against Sunderland. You know, was it complacency? Did they just think they had to turn up after the results they had previously? I mean, they looked great. I remember watching them at Anfield a couple of weeks ago, and they looked the business, Chelsea, and they didn't do anything wrong against Schalke in Europe. But I'm still not convinced by the striker, the one who gets these rave reviews, Diego Costa. I'm still not 100% convinced. They've looked great in midfield, you know, but I don't think they've got the greatest strike force, Chelsea. I might be made to look foolish later in the season, but I think Costa's going to be coming back to the field after this early burst. And it's not often you're going to get 8-1 about a side like Tottenham. Okay, this is not a great Tottenham side, and I've been very critical of them. I didn't think they were great in against Everton either, by the way.
No.
But they are, you know, they are a capable side, and you're not going to get 8-1 for Tottenham to win a game this season, other than this one, are you? And I can't bring myself to let it go. I just think they're overpriced. People, the odds compilers are being swayed by Mourinho's rhetoric about Chelsea and you know how untouchable we are. Now, Tottenham could win this.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, and that's I think it's a bit like the Stoke one for me. The fact, you know, with the kind of inflated price, you can probably go for, you know, a plus one is 9-5, plus two is 6-10. So you know, with a plus two, you're getting a team, you know, like Tottenham.
You know, isn't it funny though? 8-1, you think that's a big price.
Yeah.
So plus two is, you know, it's going to be a backable price.
Yeah.
But
it's not, is it?
It isn't.
It's,
no.
You know, it's almost like it's not. It's like they've shortened that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like they know that, because usually with a lot of markets on the football page, they're all derived from the market. You know, the market at the top. It just instinctively seems a little bit short, that, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
By the way, I've just worked out the Tottenham plus two, Stoke plus two double, and even that's not particularly great. I think it's only around the 6-4 mark, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, you'd want a bit more than that, wouldn't you? It is 6-4 actually, yeah, for the plus two double on Stoke. And
but say you have a go at Tottenham plus two at 6-10, and they win anyway. You're going to be thinking,
oh,
Jesus,
yeah.
It's an 8-1 poker, and I backed it at 6-10.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's where, you know, if you if you back the 8-1 and it loses, you're like, oh well, you know, Chelsea are always going to win.
Yeah.
If you back the plus two and it doesn't cop, you feel a right idiot, don't you?
Yeah.
And I get you, I get that, yeah. Maybe it's time to park cautious Colin and just go for it. Balls on the line, 8-1 Tottenham, and watch Chelsea destroy them. But either way, it's you have a bit of fun with it. Costa, Derek mentioned him there, is priced up 8-11 to score in this game.
Oh, that's a joke.
What about, I mean, Soldado got his goal, didn't he? And to be fair, his teammates looked absolutely chuffed for him, didn't they? 14-5 to score any time. In this one, to back it up and score, like London Buses, score 2-2.
And a lovely goal by Eriksen, wasn't it?
That it was, wasn't it? Yeah. I wondered if he was going for just chipping it across for the guy at the far post and nod it in.
What do you
make of we were having a debate in the office. I don't know if we've mentioned this already, though. What's your view on Harry Kane? A couple of lads in the office can't have him at all, don't think he's a footballer. When you hear people from Tottenham speak, he's got everything in the locker. He trains really hard, he wants to stay behind after practice, he gives everyone a lift in the team. He sounds like almost like the most important player in the club to them at the minute.
Well, I said much the same at the weekend. I didn't rate him. I just couldn't see him. I mean, if he was that good, why has it taken them so long? There's been plenty of managers at Tottenham recently, and they've all sort of made him a sub or whatever. So, but after the weekend, he looked decent. He looked a decent player. I somehow suspect, though, I don't think he's going to be Tottenham's answer.
No, no. He's 13-5 to score any time. And as long as he's the same price as Adebayor, you've probably got to back him just on that alone. Eriksen's 16-5, by the way, to score a goal, if you think Chelsea will concede. The home record in the Premier League, 2-0 against West Brom, 2-1 QPR, 2-0 Arsenal, 3-0 Aston Villa, 4-2 against Swansea, and 2-0 against Leicester. So a couple where they haven't kept clean sheets in amongst there. Let's have a look at the penultimate game that we'll look at today, and that is Everton versus Hull. Everton 11-20, 13-5 the draw, 6-1 for Hull, who are away from home again, and surely the manager will get a reaction out of them, because as Derek said earlier in the podcast, they were just poor. They were didn't you expect a Hull team to fight and give plenty, but there was nothing there against Man U. Everton looked a little bit fatigued as well at times. I thought, Derek, they've not done well coming back from Europe, and they've got a backup now on Wednesday night again here. Are they a bit short, 11-20?
They are a bit short. I think they looked at this game and thought Everton all over, because that wasn't just one bad performance by Hull.
No, it wasn't.
They've been like that for weeks now, and there's something not quite right there. I've got a sneaking suspicion, you know, that's a... Steve Bruce might be the one next out. He seems incapable of stopping the rot. That performance was beyond belief at United.
I'm just trying to think back. I haven't got any facts and figures at my fingertips, but I get the sense that he's done this before, hasn't he, at other clubs, where he's really struggled to bring a club up by its haunches when they're in a really bad run. Sunderland, I'm thinking Sunderland, that, you know, went through maybe a terrible run there maybe a couple of times and just couldn't get them out of it. Which is a worry, isn't it, as a manager? You know, because you hear players talking about him and they rave about him, thinking he's a great manager to play for and all the rest of it.
I just don't see anything from them. I'll be interested to see the prices for next to go, because I mean, this is a man who's in relegation territory, and he's hardly ever mentioned in dispatches, is he? You know, he seems to be safe there. That performance at the weekend, I think the owner wants to change the name to Hull Tiggers, I think, because that's how tame they were. I'm going to go for Everton, even though the price is a little bit short. But each time I've watched Everton recently, I mean, okay, you said he looked a bit leggy at the weekend against Tottenham. I thought they were a better side than Tottenham.
Right, okay.
And I think they'll beat. I know they'll beat Hull.
Yeah, unbeaten in four at home, including the Europa League. 3-0 win over Lille. They lost to Crystal Palace 3-2, but also had that tremendous performance against Wolfsburg as well when they beat them 4-1. And, you know, I can't get that result out of my head either. Beating them 7-2 over the two legs, Wolfsburg, and they're not a bad side at all. Hull, as Derek says, just in pretty dreadful form. If you like a little mug bet, then Nikita Jelovic, he looked lively actually at the weekend, but no service whatsoever, and runs and runs and runs. He's priced at 13-5 to score any time here against
his old club, isn't it? I can't have to have it. You know, he's one of these...
I know, I remember you saying that.
He came in and scored those goals early on in his Everton career. And I was looking at him thinking, what does this guy do? Okay, I know it sounds silly, he's scoring the goals, but I've all strikers hit a bad patch. And I thought, once he hits a barren run, he ain't going to do anything for the team, you know, and I just don't have him as a Premier League player, but, you know, others do, obviously.
The more attractive bet, given the way they capitulated against Man U, is Romelu Lukaku to score at any time. 11-10, the price there. I still like Naismith, though, if he's playing, to pick up bits in the piece in the box. 7-5. Final game that we'll look at then on Wednesday is Sunderland versus Manchester City. 11-2, the Black Cats, the champions, are priced up 8-15, and 14-5 the price for the draw. You just wonder about Sunderland, though, don't you? Remember last season when they needed a miracle, basically, didn't they? I think that's what Gus Poyet actually called it, a miracle, right near the end of the season, and they went on that tremendous run, didn't they, where they were just getting great results against teams they really shouldn't have done. They went to Man United and won, didn't they? And you know, they were just really good results. I wonder if there's a little bit of that in them. They beat Chelsea away, of course. They drew 2-2 at City, and I think that's what kick-started that run off.
That's
and everyone
right.
thought they were down pretty much. And Connor Wickham started scoring goals. Can they repeat the dose against Man City that they did against Chelsea?
Well, they could do, couldn't they? That was I don't know where that result came from, you know, when you look at
no idea.
Well, especially when you look at previous results between those. It was a 4-3, a 3-1, 4-2, and then that finished 0-0. Second 0-0 on the spin for Sunderland. In fact, they're unbeaten in four, and they're definitely getting their confidence back. But City, I thought, were sensational against Southampton. Aguero, dear me.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
player,
just it was just a wonder show he gave. I've got to go for City here, Lee. I just think you know, in a way, the Chelsea result could be, well, it was great for City, obvious reason, but it could be great for them thinking, well, hang on, you know, this is, we're not going to go to Sunderland and just pick up 3 points without, you know, without pulling something out here. They're not that by the side. So, you know, maybe they can any hints of complacency that City might have had, that's been wiped away. I look at the two squads, and I know it, you can't always back like this, you know, well, City, every player, position for position, it's comfortably superior. You know, it doesn't always work out like that.
No.
But I think City have got the bit between the teeth now after the weekend and should try clawing back 2 points. To get a result like that at Southampton on the day that Chelsea dropped points, to throw it all away at Sunderland, I don't see City doing that. I think it's an away win, isn't it? It's nailed on here.
It looks like it, yeah. I mean, especially, you know, if they get an early one, it could be anything as well. Because obviously Sunderland rely on you not scoring early, because they're such a their shots on target at home is the second worst in the Premier League. Less than 3 shots on target in their home games. This is average every game. Only Aston Villa are worse than them. And as we said before the weekend, one of the bases for backing City at Southampton was the fact that they have more shots on goal than anyone else in the Premier League away from home.
It was good. Yeah, it was good call by you on that one. Let's not forget, you got Aguero, probably the hottest striker in the world at the moment, playing against John O'Shea and Wes Brown.
Yeah, they can't have that. They can't have a great game again like that, can they? Yeah, Aguero, what a player, Derek. There was an article on Sunday, I can't remember who wrote it, they were saying that they'd rather have Aguero in the team than Suarez. And I'm a huge fan of Suarez, but I think I might just, I mean, it's a close run thing, and I wouldn't complain it either, but I might just agree, you know.
Yeah, well, the way those performances this season, I would still go for Suarez fair, because yeah. I would say that, but I described him in the paper recently as the bluey Suarez, yeah, which is a good line.
Yes. Yeah, nice. Just a quick one on Aguero, that he's now even money to be top scorer in the Premier League this season. Acosta, of course, was almost unbackable early in the season when the bookies overreacted to him scoring some goals. He's now 11-8. Alexis Sanchez is 12-1. It's a third of the odds for a place in the first two, which is pretty stingy terms now. It was top four at the start, place in the first four at the start of the season. So they've gone running scared a bit of that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Sanchez pipped Costa even.
Sanchez at 12-1 is the only value there. Aguero, it's all on injuries, isn't it?
You yes. Know?
That's
yeah, but Costa's hamstrings have already, you know, caused him a few problems, haven't they? So, you know, if he was to... And he, to be fair, he's picked up... He's already got a ban, hasn't he? Picked up his fifth yellow, I think, at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, defenders will just keep niggling him if that's the way it's going to go. Derek, thanks very much for your time today.
Pleasure.
Pleasure talking to you. We'll speak to you before the weekend.
Okay, Lee, see you soon.
Pleasure speaking to Derek on a Monday morning ahead of the Premier League action this midweek. If you want to keep tabs on the in-play situation, then make sure you tune in to inplayradio.co.uk. Full betting call on all of those Premier League matches on Tuesday and Wednesday. Not just the TV game, all of them, and everything else that's on the in-play football fixture list this midweek. We'll be back on Friday with Dave Kellner, Derek and myself to preview the next set of games. In the meantime, if you haven't a bet on anything that we've mentioned, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.